We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
On a Thursday night, Joe Giglio with Duke Sports Radio 94 WIP. And that song, Howard Eskett, is even more appropriate tonight. We're riding with the king. And tonight we are at Hannum's Harley-Davidson in Media on 1011 West Baltimore Pike. Come on out. It is bike night here. Howard, you're actually out here with me tonight. What's up, Howard?
Just having a good time. Just, you know, here to try to help people in Philadelphia understand what's going on in sports. You know, they listen all week to people, and then they have no idea what's going on.
That's what we do at WIP.
It's a lot of just making it up. did you roll with the Ben Simmons for LeBron story that was
not yet? We could do that. No, I know you're trying to
the
trade
most
him.
Ridiculous. Yeah, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I'm not trying to trade him. I want them to trade him, but you know, I'm sure we'll get into that too. And they're never going to win a championship with Ben Simmons on this team, and it's just that simple. And I love the people that say he's only 22. Well, Doncic, the rookie from Mavericks, which is 19,
yep.
Pretty good player, right?
Excellent player, yeah.
Does what the coach wants. Jokic, probably the best center in the league right now.
Well, he's the best. He's one of the most gifted offensive centers we've seen in a long
time. Well, rebounds, best passing center that you'll see. And he does what the coach wants. So, you know, so all these things. But you just need somebody that can shoot from the point guard position. Otherwise, you know, and otherwise Embiid just can't be who you need him to be, because he talked about it the other day, and I don't know people understand what he meant. When he gets doubled, it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy. He's not going to be able to play a lot of minutes.
That's why he hangs out beyond the three-point line.
Well, but you know why they double him?
Yeah, because they know there's one guy on the court that can't shoot.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, how is he going to be the player he can be? With all that, but it's, and Ben was so dismissive.
Yeah, you versus Ben at the press conference was one of the highlights of the that whole day there.
It's a joke. And then, you know, Brett Brown being back is fine. You know, who are you going
to
get?
I think Brett deserved to come back. Brett's a good coach. I don't think Brett held them back.
No, you don't like three turnovers on 24-second violations.
No, it's bad. It was a bad way. And but you know what?
Of them after a timeout.
There were moments in those possessions where they could have got a shot off. It felt like they were trying to get a better shot off. But, like, Embiid had a shot in the corner. He didn't take it. And then Jimmy Butler had the ball at the elbow, and he didn't shoot it. Like, that wasn't Brett Brown telling them not to shoot. They just were looking for something else.
Yeah, so but you have one guy on that you're playing 4-5.
It makes it really hard.
And the game, and Brett will tell you, and he said it the other day, it's a three-point game. And it's not going backwards. It's only going to become more so. Well, if that's the case, you have one player on the floor that can't shoot a three. Actually, won't shoot a three.
Won't shoot
a 15-footer. So you can't win with Ben Simmons. And then people say, it was only 22. Wait till he's 26. Well, if you wait till he's 26, you're going to have to give him a max contract before that time. And then you won't know whether he's that player.
Here's my problem, Howard. The timeline, they have to figure out what their timeline is. If they really want to win a title next year, if that is the idea in their head, then Butler's going to come back. And I don't see how Simmons fits with that. But if they're looking long-term at this, then I'm going to keep Ben Simmons because he is 22 years old.
Yeah,
it depends on what they want to do. If they want to win a title next year and that's all that matters.
What's long-term?
Well, the next 5 years.
Okay, but I can only count on, I think, just because of his medical history, Embiid for 3 years.
Well, then in that case,
I give you three solid years.
Then in that case, then Butler back, and you, I would explore the idea of what you can get for Ben Simmons. I'm with you on that, but if they're thinking at this big picture, then I'm not giving Jimmy Butler a max contract, and I'd rather keep Ben.
Well,
Jimmy Butler's going to be 30 next year. He's not going to age great.
No, you got to give Butler his max contract, because that's probably the only way. Oh, it may not be the only way, but yeah, it's.
But you could let him walk. You don't have to bring back Jimmy Butler.
And then he'll sign somewhere else. Yeah. But Tobias Harris, I don't know what you give him, because he just kind of didn't come up big in the playoffs. And but Ben is just, he's an enigma. Ben Simmons is an enigma, and you can't win with him playing the same way. In the regular season, I love the people that give me his regular season stats. When you get to the real teams in the playoffs, that all just goes right down the drain, because they don't let you just drive down the basket. Now he's playing in what? In Australia or wherever the hell he's playing?
He put up his Twitter video telling everyone where he's going, where he's going to play.
Oh, good. Yeah, so, and there's no defense, I'm sure, in those games.
So you're saying he's not going to work on his shot over there?
No. No.
Here's the thing. If they bring everybody back, if they bring this whole thing back together, we're not going to really know about it until we get to the playoffs. Because like you were just saying,
right,
they can win 50, 55 games the regular season next year if they bring these guys back, and it won't even – it'll just be easy. Like, that's the regular season in the NBA. They're good enough. If they stay healthy, they'll win. But that they're beyond that now. We've seen them win 50 games a couple of times. Now it's about the playoffs. 888-729-9494. Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin. We're live tonight. Hadams, Harley Davidson, and media. We're starting off on the Simmons and kind of Sixers post-mortem after Sunday night, and really what was one of the most ridiculous end-of-game shots we've ever seen.
And despite what Josh Harris said, I do not think that Brett Brown was a lock to come back, and I don't believe that he told him flat out, "Don't you're going to be back next year." I don't believe that. If that was the case, why did it take till after 11 o'clock to tell people when the news conference was and who was going to be there? So I don't believe that. Josh Harris can say that all he want. Brett Brown didn't quite say that at first. Says you always worry. Well, if he told you, why do you worry? And then after pressing him, he said, yes, he told me. Then I just don't believe that. And I think Josh Harris is rude to his coach, who was in Toronto, came back. They got back at 2 in the morning. He had 17 exit interviews, and then he had to take a town car up to New York for dinner with Josh Harris, who came the next morning in his chariot or his helicopter. And why couldn't he fly the night before?
I like chariot better, his chariot.
Yeah, why couldn't he fly in the night before and have dinner here and have some respect for your head coach?
Because Josh Harris is clueless when it comes to this kind of stuff.
That was just not right.
I'm with you on. I don't believe Brett knew he was safe throughout that Toronto series, because the way he answered questions after the game was basically like, ask the owner. Like when he was asked about his job security, he was like, we'll ask the front office. Like he wasn't good. He didn't sound like it. And look, Josh Harris left it open. But during the Nets series, he backed everyone on this team, and then he said that Brett's our coach right now. Like they could have cut this all off. They didn't. I'm glad they brought Brett Brown back, but
yeah,
the questions
like
now
Brett.
Now all the questions start about what they're going to do with this roster. And Mike, if I had to guess, Howard, I would guess they're going to bring everybody back.
Well, I will tell you this. I believe 98% that Elton Brand will investigate the value of Ben Simmons in a trade.
Well, he should. You know, I don't want to give away Ben Simmons. I don't want to just punt on his career. But I said this a few weeks ago. I don't think he and Butler – now, you said him and Embiid, and that's true. But I don't think Butler and Simmons work together well for this reason. If Butler's going to be worth the max, he needs the ball in his hand. We saw it in the playoffs. The ball was in Jimmy Butler's hands. But if Ben's going to be good, he needs the ball in his hands. They both can't have the ball in their hands.
Okay, so if you give the max to Butler, you want to try to get another player, but I don't think you're going to be able to get a max player. I don't think they'll come here. Even though Brett Brown said it's a destination place.
Your best chance is probably re-signing Tobias, because he's already here.
Yeah, but you can't give him a max. But yeah, you can sign him, but what you sign him for? And you get somebody else. But then if you don't trade Ben Simmons within a year, then you're going to have to give him the max.
And then you have four guys on max contracts, and you have no ability to improve the bench in any way.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep. So
you'd be in the tax, too. You'd pay a lot of money for a team that right now is improving to get out of the second round. 888-729-9494, #9494 to hop on in. Let's talk to Adam, who is in Delaware. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Adam. What's up?
Hey, I just want to talk about giving Ben Simmons a max contract. My comments are really is if Brett Brown knows that the game is a three-point game. He's not the only coach that knows that. The Philly fans aren't the only fans that know that Ben Simmons can't take a shot outside of 3 feet away from the basket. So I don't understand how we keep talking about giving Ben Simmons a max contract. I mean, Howard just said a minute ago he's an enigma. We can't win with him. I don't understand why that's even in the realm of a possibility. I'll take your comments off the air. Thanks.
Sometimes addition is by subtraction, which is sad because you want value. You want a top 10 pick. And that's right on the edge of, I don't know.
Well, it depends on the draft, too. Some drafts are deeper than others. Some drafts have four guys. Some guys, you know, there are other drafts that have a lot of players.
Yeah, and so much, by the way, for all the process people, it is finally over.
How was your last process lottery party? I saw you took some photos. You went to the party on the other night.
I went to the party. Yeah. These dopey people taking pictures with a hinky banner. But the New Orleans first pick of the draft was the Sixers draft pick from Nerlens Noel. How about that?
Is that true?
Yes. Yes.
But it was their pick. It was their own pick, wasn't it?
Yeah, but they traded their pick. They traded it for Drew Holiday. They traded Drew Holiday, and I guess their pick, I don't know how it all worked out, but one of the beat writers told me that the New Orleans pick that got to be number one last night was the Sixers pick for Nerlens Noel.
Well, it is amazing when you follow the lottery every year and you kind of look at it.
I'm just believing a beat writer who obviously would follow that stuff.
It's crazy because you watch it play out and there's so many picks that changed hands 9 times.
Yeah,
you,
right.
You kind of lose track of where the pick originated from.
Yeah.
Well, look, New Orleans lucked out because they're going to get Zion Williamson.
Well, they did.
And they're going to be able to
trade. Drew Holiday might be one of the four best point guards
in
the
league. He's a very good player. Wish he was still here.
Yeah.
Wish he was still here. 888-729-9494.
Well, you wouldn't have had Nerlens Noel then.
I like Nerlens, but Nerlens just didn't work out here.
Stone cold stiff.
You know what? You know what? Right now, I would take Nerlens back as the backup center.
Yes, as a backup center.
Yeah, but that's fine. But for this
team,
they
drafted him as he was before Embiid. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. You know, for the player he was at that point, that was good value. Yeah. Lance is in Derby. What's up, Lance?
Thank you, Lance.
Yo.
Hey, Lance.
Yes.
I hate to wake you up there. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Good, Lance. What's up, man?
Yeah, I was going to find out, will Ben Simmons accept the role as a power forward, and we bring in a point guard? And the second question is, do you want a player or picks for Ben Simmons?
I want a player. I don't want picks. If this team...
A pick and a player.
All right, sure. But they need a... And Lance, we appreciate it. Howard, if they're going to try to win a championship next year, another 18-year-old isn't going to help. Like, they need a grown player, a guy that's 23, 24, 25, 26, regardless, you know, depends on who you're going to get.
Yeah.
I want a veteran player.
His early 20s.
Yeah, someone that is ready to play in the NBA right now. Like, because Ben is ready to play in the NBA. He's not perfect, but he could play.
And he says, why doesn't he play power forward? But when Jimmy Butler was the point guard, he was the power forward. But he won't shoot there either.
Which, look, he could do some good things there, but you're not getting the best out of Ben Simmons if he doesn't have the ball in his hands. That's the best thing he does is pass the ball.
And he's got to be able to shoot, or whoever's guarding him won't guard him, and they'll double whoever they need to double on the floor.
It does feel like their entire offseason hinges on what they believe Ben Simmons will be next year. Because if they believe Ben will come back with a jump shot, it changes everything about the way they build their team. If they don't believe that, again, it totally takes the whole thing off the rails. 888-729-9494. Eric is in Miami. What's up, Eric?
Hi, guys. Two items. First of all, real quickly, I totally agree with Howard that story that they told about Brett knowing that he had the job was complete nonsense. And the reason I believe that Brett had to go up there to New York after 17 exit interviews is because they had to decide right then and there what was going to be his future. That's when they decided it. It's obvious.
They didn't announce a news conference till after the dinner, which if he was going to speak the next day, they would have announced it rather than have people wait till after 11
o'clock.
Right,
it was the dinner, then Wojnarowski made put the news out, and then there was a press conference.
Yes.
Yeah, so they absolutely decided it up there.
Yeah, no question.
They have to think people are stupid to believe that. But
When you pay 50% more in ticket prices, people are stupid.
The main reason for my call is I just wanted to thank you for attempting to extract some answers from Ben Simmons, who asked the hard question. I'm watching that thing, and I had kind of the same reaction you did. I'm like laughing at myself. What kind of response is it? The response he should have given was something like, I realize that having an outside shot is something that is missing in my game, and that I'm going to work very diligently this summer, and hopefully I can come back with an improved shot. You wouldn't have asked another question, and nobody else would have, had that been the response.
And
that's what's so troubling about moving forward.
Here's the problem.
Doesn't recognize I have a problem.
Here's the problem with Ben Simmons. Last year, he wouldn't address the jump shot directly, and he said the same thing. He's going to work on his game. But he didn't address the specifics, and he wouldn't last year. So it's the same nonsense this year. That's why I just had to go.
Absolutely.
I had to go full war.
And the other thing, the answer he gave is repetition.
Yeah.
You know the definition of insanity.
Yeah.
Doing the same thing. He's got a broken jump shot. Somebody needs to fix that. Repeating that's not going to improve anything.
It's a mistake to have him work with his brother during the season. Now, you can, and Elton Brand said it, during the offseason, you can do whatever you want. And Elton says, well, he works with our coaches. Yeah, when they're running drills on the court. But he doesn't work with their coaches on his jump shot.
And in the offseason is when you're going to fix it. If you're going to fix the jump shot, it's not happening during the season.
Don't you think Brett has a little bit too much of a hands-off attitude towards Ben? Because when you listen to him talk about Ben, he says, well, he's only 22. If he was 26.
No, you're missing the worst part. You're missing the worst part. He's friends with his father, and he's known Ben since he's a kid. So now he lets his personal relationship affect what he needs it to. If I'm the coach, I run a play for Ben to take a jump shot, and I run it until he takes it. And if he doesn't take it, he sits his ass on the bench.
He's not going to take it.
Yeah. Well, then he sits his ass on the bench.
I'm in total agreement with you. I really wasn't missing the point. That's what I was intimating. There is something there. It's absolutely a problem. Contrast that with Joel Embiid, who's obviously maturing, but at least he owns up to what he has to change and says, yes, we're going to work on that. We're going to try. You don't hear any of that from Ben. Anyway,
you're right, and Eric, and I think that's one of the biggest reasons why this city is endeared to Joel Embiid. Everyone loves Joel Embiid because it's that, and then Ben Simmons is the opposite. Eric, we appreciate it. He's defiant. He doesn't want to answer Howard's questions. He has to know the jump shot is a problem, and it holds this team back. For him to pretend it's not is ridiculous.
He's so dismissive all the time. He's so dismissive. And then when he took that three-point shot, which startled everybody, it was right after Brett Brown had asked him to take more shots from out there. And then after that game, he said, oh, I didn't even think about it. Well, you just took a three out of the clear blue?
No way. All right, 888-729-9494, #9494 to hop in. Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin, we're live tonight. Hannum's, Harley Davidson, 1011 West Baltimore Pike. In media, come on by. It is bike night here. We'll come back, talk some Sixers. The Phillies are struggling, including Bryce Harper.
Right out on a Harley.
Who, me?
Well, yeah. Well, anybody comes here.
You know, you come in, you get a Harley.
Yeah, right.
You going to ride out on one?
I'll think about it.
All right. Howard might ride out on a Harley at 7.
I'm riding my bike Saturday when the Eagles bike ride.
Different kind of bike. All right. 888-729-9494. Sports Radio 94. 6:26 on a Thursday night. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin. We're live tonight. Hannum's, Harley Davidson. We're here. I'm here 6 to 10 tonight. It's bike night. You can come and receive a $10 gift card that can be used tonight. Food is here. There's trucks, bikes. I mean, you get some specials tonight. So come on out. Harley Davidson, 1011 West Baltimore Pike in Media. We're here, Howard, and I'm not sure. You might be leaving with a bike tonight.
Yeah, but I'm going to ride another bike on Saturday. So
I may have to hold off. Yeah. You may have to hold off.
Can you see if I came out in a Harley on Saturday for the bike ride?
No, that would be a way to make an entrance.
Yeah. So I got such a cool bike that I know I've told you, the people at Guy's Bikes up on Street Road in Ben Salem it's a great bike. It's a $1,000 retail bike with all kinds of good
all the
stuff
bells on. And whistles on there.
Well, all the things, you know, all the decorations, let's say, you know, with my picture and phrases and all kinds of good stuff.
It's the Howard Eskin bike.
It's the Howard Eskin
bike.
Yeah,
the Eagles Autism Challenge coming up Saturday.
I have it up for auction right now, and I got a $1,500 bid on it right now.
It's a good bid.
With three autographs on it. Wentz, Ertz, and Jason Kelce.
So go to your Twitter page. People can find that bid on it.
Yeah, it's pinned to my, it's the top Twitter thing. Just let me know what you maybe want to bid on it.
888-729-9494. We'll get back to the phone lines in a second. Let's touch on a couple of Phillies things. As they have, they've had a bad series here. I think this was their worst series of the year. They did lose 3 out of 4 to the Rockies, but that was on the road. This was at home. They got beat up, lost 3 in a row here. The big story, though, continues to be Bryce Harper, Howard. He was on the morning show today, and Gabe moved him up in the lineup, which I thought, I mean, you see that sometimes. A guy will move around the lineup, try to get him going. And I like the idea of moving him up rather than down because he does at least, even when he's struggling, he'll get on base, he will walk. So you take advantage of that, get him up in the order. Today he went 1 for 4. But here's the reality, Howard. He is on pace right now for 219 strikeouts. It's not so much that he's slumping. He's a guy that goes through slumps. He'll go up, he'll go down. 219 strikeouts. I just don't see how he could strike out at this pace and have a good year. It just feels like the math doesn't make sense. He won't have enough at-bats where he actually puts the ball in play to do things.
People talk about the pressure he has because of the contract.
Yep.
And I forget, Klentak spoke, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, they kind of run together. And I don't know if he brought that up and it's the pressure of the contract. I think when he gets up to the plate, he just does what he does. And then afterwards, he might think about, you know, the things that, you know, I need to do this and I need... Today he did something which I don't see him do much, and I'm trying to figure out whether he was fooled on the pitch. When he hit his single to left field.
Yeah, it went the other way.
He went the other way, but he went with the pitch, and he didn't try to just – he swings so hard, he didn't try to do that. So maybe he's trying to do that a little more. He's making a little more – but he still struck out twice today. That's a problem, but here's the issue. You can't let one player in your lineup – if he's getting on base – then it can't be one player in your lineup. It's got to be multiple players. Odubel Herrera, even though he's back, he's not doing anything. Mikel Franco has become Mikel Franco.
Yeah, he went back to being Franco
Mikel
pretty
Franco,
quick.
Yeah.
He's the same guy he's always been.
And Hernandez is starting to hit, but it can't be Realmuto is doing a nice job.
You know, they need more power out of him, though. When they acquired him, they said, look, they were taking him out of Miami, out of that park. And I think they thought he'd hit for more power. He has 4 home runs. I think he's been good, and he's been really good defensively.
Yeah, defensively he's terrific.
But if he's going to hit 5th, they need him to be at least a 20-25 home run guy, and he hasn't looked like that yet.
You know, I know when the Phillies put together and Gabe puts all these numbers together, and it's hocus pocus when you put numbers together. Talks about where they are and their average, but average isn't supposed to mean anything. But then you use that and runs. But in the Kansas City series, they won a game 6-1. They scored all 6 runs in one inning.
Yep.
They really didn't hit the ball there either. They've been very inconsistent offensively all year. And, yeah, I know Bryce Harper's got to hit better. But you can't blame it on one player. It just can't be one player. Because every team has, if you're a good team, has multiple players that really help you. So I think that's not fair to just blame it on Bryce Harper, because there's other guys that have to drive in some runs too. They have players that can do that, or they should have players that can do that. It's not just one guy. And now the pitching, they get a good game once in a while.
But it's coming back to earth. I mean,
well, Arrieta's really,
he's a number 4 starter at this point of his
right.
career.
And that's all he is. Eflin had pitched really well, and then he's had a couple of shaky ones. Velasquez, I don't know if he's hurt because he wasn't pitching well. You know, sometimes I wonder about him with that. But whatever the case may be, and Nola, here's your ace.
They need him to get going.
Yes, he's been okay, but okay's not good enough. Okay's not good. So it's not just, and you just can't depend on the pitchers. And I know the bullpen has some challenges at times. Well, when pitchers don't go deep, but Milwaukee, my gosh, they have some starting pitchers that are doing a nice job. That guy pitched today. He's pitching terrific.
Their bullpen
ERA
is good.
ERA under 2.
Hader in the back end of the bullpen.
Oh, their
guy's
bullpen
unhittable.
Is terrific.
And then their offense just hits and hits. And I think this was a wake-up call to the Phillies because, Howard, they played pretty well. But, you know, they beat up on some bad teams, too, so far this season. The Marlins, the Royals last week.
Yep.
Milwaukee comes in here, and boom, it's just – today was just – I mean, they got rocked, 11-3. You mentioned the offense, how it needs to pick up. It's not just Bryce Harper. Howard, in 13 now, they've played 43 games. In 13, so it's basically a quarter of their games, they've scored two or less runs. You can't win like that.
No. I know people blame Harper and my analytics – feeder.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, it just, but
you got some analytics for me?
Well, at this point, if the season ended, Harper would have by far his worst line stats ever.
Sure.
200, 368, 433, 800. All would be lows. His WAR would be 1.2 to 1.6.
Yeah, they didn't pay for that.
No, but I'm not blaming just one guy. It's not fair to blame, and you can't just look at one guy. This team, when they signed, McCutcheon's not hitting either. That's another guy.
He has not hit.
Okay, but so when they signed McCutcheon,
yep,
they traded for Realmuto and Segura.
And Segura. Segura's hit.
That's three players that really made him a better team anyway, but Segura's the only guy that's really kind of
consistently
hit. Doing that stuff, right.
Yeah, but you know McCutcheon, I told you when they brought McCutcheon, and he reminds me of Carlos Santana. He's going to walk a lot. He'll have 20 home runs, but he can go through streaks where he doesn't hit either.
Yeah,
now he's a more valuable player because he plays defense and he runs the bases. Well, he's a good player.
Yeah, but he's not brought in to be a run.
No, he's a
leadoff
guy.
Right. So where Santana was a total fraud as a run producer.
Well, he was masquerading as one. He belongs to the top of the lineup too.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You know, but
right.
they need to start hitting because I don't look at this pitching staff and expect them to hold teams down. Like the Rockies are coming in this weekend. If the Phillies are going to try to win two out of three, scoring four or five runs, you know, total in those two wins, that's not going to happen. They're going to need to score some runs.
You know, it's sad. Bruce Willis is not a didn't play baseball, obviously. He took some swings in the cage. But what he would do is the same thing they're doing.
Where would you hit him in this lineup? So Gabe shook it up today. Where would you put Bruce Willis? Third, second?
Tenth.
but
he could be in there. It wouldn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. It would look the same. It's really kind of, but he's a good guy. You know, I'm having fun with Bruce Willis, who is a great guy anyway. But, he's a regular guy. And the fact that he went in there knowing he couldn't swing the bat. And
he tried.
He tried.
Just feels like the Phillies, they've treaded water now for about a month and a half. They got off to that great start the first weekend. They won the first game down in D.C., and they've basically been .500 now for about 6 weeks. 888-729-9494. Let's grab Lou out in Sacramento.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, Lou. What's up?
Great.
We got you.
Yeah, great. I think I'm not worried about the Phillies yet. And, Howard, you're right. I mean, it's not like basketball where one guy's going to carry you. I know he got the $330 million contract, but he's got to do better. He knows it. I think he'll get closer to his. Yeah. About the Sixers, I'm still bummed, obviously. I'm happy they brought back Brett Brown, but looking forward, do you think there's any chance, or should they go after KD, Kawhi, Kemba? And my question is, can they sign one of those guys and Jimmy Butler? And if they go after one of those guys and don't sign them, is there a chance they could be left hanging and not have anybody? Because, look, Kawhi played with the Spurs where Brett Brown was. Maybe KD wants more championships. I don't know. Kemba Walker, I think, would fit really well here. But
I'm telling you, are you on helium right now or just straight stone cold drugs?
But why wouldn't you try?
Hold on. What makes you think Kevin Durant would come here? That's number one.
I don't know. Wouldn't you make the call?
I'd make the call.
Sure, yeah.
To him and Kawhi. Okay.
Right. What makes you think Kawhi would come here? I mean, please.
I don't know. Maybe he has a relationship with Brett Brown from the Spurs.
Stop,
maybe Kemba.
Stop.
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you. I don't know, but why would he not?
Neither one of them. They're not going to get any, and they're not going to get Klay Thompson either. They're not going to get any of the top stars. You knew it could be a really good team. The Clippers, if they get Kawhi and Klay Thompson, and if the Warriors don't give Klay Thompson a max contract, he will go to the Clippers.
So the Clippers have max spots open. And they almost played, and look, they were a playoff caliber team this year. Lou, here's what I'll say about your idea. I'm all for it.
Yeah,
but the minute you do that, the minute you try to go get those other guys, you're letting Butler and Tobias go out into free agency. So it's a risky proposition because you might get a meeting with Kawhi, and then in the meantime, Jimmy Butler's a Clipper and Tobias Harris is a Net, and you have nothing.
So how does the luxury tax work with going over the luxury tax, signing your own players? Could you sign someone else and then sign Jimmy Butler since he was here last year and then go over that threshold, or does it not?
Am I misconstruing
it?
You can do that.
It's the order of operations. You could go over to re-sign Jimmy, but if you sign Jimmy first, I don't think you could then go out and
sign. If you
sign
your own players first and you're at the salary cap, you can't go out and sign the other one. So they'd have to make a deal with Jimmy Butler's agent or whomever, and then go out and sign the other guys first. But Kevin Durant will not
come
here.
Kemba and Jimmy would,
down Market Street if Kevin Durant signs with the
Make
Sixers.
Sure we get that cut.
Kemba Walker's still in play, I think. So let's get
Howard
that
would have a Kemba Walker jersey in 10 seconds. Your favorite player.
I'd rather have him. Now, Kemba Walker's a good player. I just want somebody at the point guard who can play point guard and can shoot, which opens up the floor for everybody.
Yeah, I agree on that. And Lou, we appreciate the call. This whole offseason, for me, hinges on what they think Ben Simmons is going to be. If they think he's the same player next year, then they have to be willing to listen to offers for him. If they think he's going to come back with a jump shot, well, that changes the equation. I'm not going to hold my breath, Howard, but it's the truth. If they think he's going to come back and have a jump shot, it changes what they do this offseason.
How many 15-foot shots did he even take this year?
They count them
12,
on one
maybe?
Hand. Remember, two
10,
hands.
Maybe
yeah, he,
10.
Does, he doesn't do it. And it makes the whole operation just difficult.
It's just they're not – they can't be as good as they can be with the other players they have because he's restrictive in what he does. And I don't want to hear how athletic he is and how he – everybody 6'10 can handle. Everybody in the NBA, I don't care if you're 5'10, can dunk. I don't care.
But he does have a lot of skills. So if he had a jump shot,
What are his skills?
He's a gifted passer, and he's a very, very versatile.
And he turns the ball over a lot because he won't shoot.
But he's a very versatile defender. He's the same guy that could guard Kawhi and D'Angelo Russell in the same playoffs.
Wait a minute. Kawhi lit them up.
Yeah, but he made him work for those points.
He worked for 38 points a game.
In game, he shot the ball 39 times in game 7.
Okay, but at least he had the guts to do it.
I agree with that.
I get it, but he still and that was probably his worst game, but he still scored 31, and they needed every one of those 41
points.
When
Ben was the primary defender on him, he didn't shoot a very good percentage. He held him.
Well, then why wasn't he the primary defender all the time?
Well, we can ask the coach about that.
Because you can't guard Kawhi.
That guy's going to score his points no matter what you do. I'm just saying, I thought Ben did as good of a job as you could do. 888-729-9494, #9494. That is how you hop in. Howard Eskin, Joe Giulio, we're at Hannum's Harley-Davidson, 1011 West Baltimore Pike.
Kevin
Media.
Durant.
Yeah, Durant's not coming here.
No.
Neither is Kawhi. 888-729-9494. Stop on by. Give us a call. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Down Market Street.
Welcome back. 6:47 on a Thursday night. That, of course, was in response to the idea of Kevin Durant signing here in Philadelphia, which is not happening, according to Howard Eskin. We are live tonight. Hannum's Harley-Davidson, 1011 West Baltimore Pike. And media, come on out. $10 gift cards. If you come on out, you can be used tonight. And it's bike night here in media at Harley-Davidson. We're happy to be here tonight doing the full show. Howard here for the 6 o'clock hour. And we got a little Sixers talk about Ben Simmons, the Phillies as well. Let's see what Chris in Plymouth Meeting has to say. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Chris. What's up?
All right. So, bad week for the Phillies. I'm not upset. I'm not worried the season's over. But we had 4 starters all pitch badly against a good hitting team, but not the 27 Yankees. I got a question. If all 4 starters have that much trouble, how much of it's on the scouts? Did we not have any clue how to pitch to these guys?
No, stop. It's bad
pitches.
Stop,
Howard. That's the job of the scouts.
But the pitcher has to execute the plan.
And that's what I'm saying. Did they have a freaking plan?
Aaron Nola, Chris. I'm not going to blame a scout when Aaron Nola is a pitch well. Aaron Nola has been missing his spots all year long. So, he's got to pitch better. I'm not going to blame a scout for Aaron Nola's struggles. The other guys, do they need help to get through games? Yeah, because they're not quite as talented as Aaron Nola. But This is on the players here, Chris.
Wait. Yeah. 4 for 4 means it's a pattern. When there's a pattern, you figure out where it comes from.
Wait a minute. What happened last year? Hold it. Hey, genius. All right. Last year,
knock it off.
Okay. The pitchers were really good at the beginning of last year, and everybody got all carried away and excited. Then they fell back into some kind of reality. So the scouts scouted the team. Yeah, except Nola. So they scouted the team well at the beginning, but they didn't scout them well at the end.
Don't you understand? Yeah. They got stupid over the course of the season.
Yeah, it's just, you can't just all of a sudden blame it on the scouts. I'm not blaming
everything on the scouts, but 0 for 4, all those walks.
No, it's not the scouts. All the walks. What do you mean? You think the scouts scouted to pitch them outside the strike zone?
That was the plan.
Arrieta can't throw a strike?
When Arrieta is off, and we've seen him off a lot. Look, I'm tired of watching Arrieta, but they're stuck with him now for at least another year and a half. And, Chris, we appreciate it. Howard,
I don't understand why you think it's the scouts. Yeah. It's just so foolish.
I mean, we've seen this with Jake Arrieta. When he's on, he could throw a nice 7-inning game, could have 1 or 2 runs, and everyone's like, oh, wow, Jake Arrieta. And when he's off, he stinks.
You know, and I'm not – I'm done with Arrieta. But here's the problem. Well, the biggest problem is the pitchers just aren't pitching well.
And they're not that good is also a problem.
You don't even need scouts anymore. With all the things that you can get online and with analytics and hot zones and all these other things, the players, everybody's got them. So it's not – but the pitchers have to execute it the right way.
If there's one thing, Howard, that I am not concerned about with the Phillies, is that they don't have enough data or information. If anything, they have too much. Right? And look, some guys like that. Some players like to be fed all and then some guys don't. They don't want to see it, and that's – each player is their own thing. But the Phillies, I'm not concerned about they don't have the numbers on each batter. They know what they should be throwing each hitter. It's about executing it.
Well, you think when Arrieta gives up a home run and the pitch is right down the middle and up – do you think the scouts told him that's where you're supposed to throw
that
it?
That moron scout upstairs said, throw it down the middle to yell it. You trust me on this one.
Just a little high. And with left-handers, you already know that left-handers, and it's kind of strange that it's not the same with right-handers, left-handers like it down and in.
Yeah.
And that one of the home runs today, I think it was today, was down and in, either today or last night.
Here's the thing with the guys that pitch this week, and Irvin will pitch tomorrow. He's the same way. Like, this is why the Phillies still hope on Pivetta. It's why we talk about guys that have velocity. You saw it the other night with Eichhoff, and he's been good this year. But, Howard, when Jared Eichhoff misses over the plate with an 89-mile-an-hour fastball, he's going to get rocked.
Yes.
He doesn't. I mean, that's why guys that throw 95, people want to throw them on the mound.
Why do some fans always want to give players a pass? Sometimes you can because you've got to have a bigger sample size than the Phillies pitchers. But Aaron Nola's got to get better. That's not the scouts. Because he's facing a lot of the same hitters that he faced last year, except for the American League teams. But his location is not good, and they're all walking too many batters.
This series was unbelievable. I heard of L.A. on the way in because I was driving during the end of the game. They put like 30 base runners on between walks and hit by pitch this series. Just free base runners.
I know.
You can't do it.
It's terrible.
Joe in South Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Can you hear me well?
We got you, bud. Yeah.
All right, cool.
Is this Joe?
This is Joe in South Jersey.
Joe, right? Yeah, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Go ahead, Joe.
So, guys, so all I wanted to really just say was I agree with you with the KD thing. There's no way a superstar like KD comes in. I can't see that happening. These guys wouldn't even know what to do with a KD around them.
Well, they wouldn't have to know because he would do it for them.
As far as
Ben Simmons, listen, my opinion is off the guy. Brett Brown's covering up for him. Brett Brown, whatever he said earlier about that he agrees with his brother coaching him and he feels like it ain't changing nothing. This dude's not shooting the ball. They don't execute pick and rolls, and he surely did not stop Kawhi Leonard in any of them playoff games if my man scored in over 40 points. No way.
Well, he didn't stop him, but he was their best defender on him by far. I mean, he was the only guy that made him sweat for his points. Whatever else was on him, that guy just scored at will.
On the team, I think Jimmy Butler's the best defender.
I think Jimmy Butler is as well. And I think they make right calls in putting the ball in Jimmy's hands. But with Ben Simmons, I think he's a lost cause, and I think he's a bench rider if he goes to any other team. Any other coach is going to pick this kid apart.
Well, no, he won't be a bench. He won't be a bench rider. But I don't know. I don't know that you can win a championship with Ben Simmons playing point guard and not being able to shoot. He's got everybody in the NBA. They may not be able to shoot well, but 99% of the people in the NBA can shoot a little bit. Not well, but a little bit.
Well, here's the thing. And look, I disagree. And Joe, we appreciate it. I disagree that he'd be a bench player on another team.
No, he's not going to be a
Howard,
bench player
on another team. You know what he might be? He might be a big. And if they don't have a center, he could play in the paint. Like the fact it's him and Embiid is the thing. They're in the same space. That's why it sometimes doesn't look like it works. But I'm sure another team out there that wouldn't play him a point guard could find a lot of use for him.
Well, today's NBA, most big guys aren't really the type of big guys that you had five, 10 years
right.
ago.
They're not big.
They're very fluid.
Yes.
They run the floor. It's like Blake Griffin.
He could be like him.
Yeah, right. But Blake Griffin also shoots. So you got to have – but the big guys that play now have to shoot a little bit to bring the other guys out from the basket. I don't know where – honestly, I know he's got skills and he drives to the basket, and that's all well and good, but teams don't play defense during the season, and then in the playoffs, the good teams do. I just all of a sudden things were going so well, and now the Phillies aren't playing well. The Sixers are history. Joel Embiid, we don't have to worry about his cold or his virus. His stomach ache or I sucked, I got to play better. You know, I'm glad he owns up to it. But sometimes I think he says it a little too much because he uses it. It gets people off his back because he says, well, you know, I'm going to make sure I do better. He did say last year he was going to get in better shape. I think he came in shape, but then when he got hurt, he got out of shape.
It happens to him all the time. He puts on weight fast.
So it is what it is. But now things aren't as rosy. It's just
things turn around here sometimes.
But you got the Eagles. Who's going to win the next championship? The Eagles.
If I had to bet on one, I'd bet on the Eagles.
Yeah.
I'd bet on the Phillies then.
Wait till you see, and we'll talk about it after the mini camps next week. Wait till you see, and I don't know everything that's going on. Wait till you see what they're going to do on offense. They're going to be lightning and scoring points.
If they aren't a top five offense in the NFL, there's a problem.
Oh,
there's a problem.
They got so many different things. And Doug Peterson is like a chemist.
He's got to be licking his chops right now.
Oh, my gosh.
And look, there can't be any excuses here. Carson Wentz, if he stays healthy, I think they win 12 games. If he stays healthy. If he plays all 16, they should win 12.
If they're 4-4 the first half of the season, they'll win 11 or 12. Because that's where you have the three straight road games. They only have one plane flight the whole second half of the season.
Good for you.
Miami.
Good for the Eagles.
Right.
Good for them.
A plane, a bus, and a train.
It could be the best Eagles offense ever.
That's right.
All right, Howard. We'll hear you again on Saturday.
No, because I'm riding the bike on
Saturday.
That's
right. I'm running. I'll see you there.
Oh, that's right. So I'll call. I'm not sure who's working. I would think maybe Rob Ellis is working. So I'll call him because I don't start until 9 o'clock. It's 7 for the 50-mile. 8 for the 30-mile, and 9 for the 15-mile, and I'm doing the 15. So I'll call Rob Ellis. And, by the way, if people – you can find my link somewhere on my Twitter. If people want to donate, again, it's for a good cause and trying to do the best I can in raising money. The bike's up for auction, and there's so many good things happening. But it will be fun, and I've already done 16 miles yesterday, so I'm good.
You're ready to go.
I'm ready to go.
All right, Howard, appreciate you coming out. We'll keep talking here, hanging out at Hannum's Harley-Davidson, 1011 West Baltimore Pike in Media, 888-729-9494. Top on the phone line, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.